I'm glad to be here with you all. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you. I'm sorry you got stuck listening to me tonight, but we'll go through a study, and I hope it's profitable to you and a help to you in some way. If you want to grab a Bible and follow along, I don't have a PowerPoint. I guess this is an analog lesson, but if you want to follow along, we'll start our study in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. You know, when I hear somebody talk about a disciple or when I think about that word, I just think of one of the 12 people that was just following Jesus around wherever he went and bearing witness to the miracles, and you know, that's kind of what my mind thinks of. But what does it mean to be a disciple? What should that mean to you and I? The definition of disciple is a follower of a teacher or leader. So we need to be disciples of Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." You know, before we can make disciples and baptize nations, we have to become disciples. So that is something that you and I have to be. We have to be followers of Christ and followers of his teaching. You know, and as Christians, disciple should be a job title. You know, he told us to go do something. He told us to take action, to go make disciples of other nations. And this is something we need to be, and this is something we need to seek and try to do. We need to try and baptize other people. We need to try and make disciples of other people as we've been commanded to. And that's what the disciples did. That's what Christ did. He went about teaching and preaching, and so that example we need to follow. We need to be a follower of Christ in that manner. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's what Christ did. If we're going to follow his example, we have to do that as well. We have to be able to teach others before we can make disciples of others. We have to learn God's laws and Christ's teachings because he has given us the responsibility to take that to others. You know, that charge was to everyone. You know, and the most important teaching that you'll probably do isn't going to be from a pulpit. So if you don't get up here and give lessons, don't think that that excludes you. We have to, each and every one of us has that responsibility to be a disciple of Christ and to make disciples of others. So tonight, I want to look at some of the characteristics that we see in discipleship and from the disciples. This isn't an exhaustive study by any means, but it's a few of the things that I kind of notice when you see that and when you just study that and the example of the disciples. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation of this, is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.'" So here I think we have the foundation of what it means to be a disciple and what we need to do first in our discipleship with God. We need to make sure that nothing is standing in between us and our relationship with God and the tasks that he has given us. You know, Christ gives this illustration, and it's pretty simple. But I believe he does that to drive the point and how important that is. He's not telling us or preaching that we should hate our families, that we should hate our children. He's preaching that nothing should stand between us and our relationship with God. God should be our number one priority, and serving him should be our number one task. You know, it blows my mind when we read some of the accounts where Jesus told the disciples to stop what they were doing and, you know, take up their cross and follow him, and he did, and they did. You know, know, they didn't say, well, let me go dock my boat and tie it up, winterize it, and make sure all my nets are in order. They stopped what they were doing, and they followed Christ. And that's that kind of dedication that we have to have in our lives. You know, we're told that having put our hand to the plow and looking back, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. So we have to be willing to put God first. You know, when we think about what our family means to us, as far as anything on earth, that's the most valuable thing we have. You know, we cherish those things and those loved ones around us more than anything. And we should, but God should come even before that. And that's what Christ is telling us. He's not telling us to hate our loved ones or those around us. He's telling us that we should put God first, put Him first in everything that we do. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 and 38, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." You know, this is what our discipleship is built on. You know, if we're making sure that nothing is before God, it should be for this reason. Because we love God more than anything, that we love Him with everything that we have. You know, if we don't have this as our first priority, it's going to be hard to do the other commandments that He has given us in Scripture. If you think about the things that we are to do leading a Christian life, they're all centered on love. They all have the theme or the thread of love through those. We're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to show kindness. All those things that we do in life are rooted in love. So if we can't get the foundation of love, loving God more than anything, it's going to be hard for us to follow the rest of the commands that He gives us in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 and 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, it's not just enough to just put God in our life first in our lives or say that we love Him more than anything in our lives, but we have to put His work first. We have to seek His things and the work of His kingdom first. You know, a big reason why I struggle with preaching sometimes is because most of the things and the topics that I can think to preach about are things that I struggle with. You know, the sermon isn't any different. It's very easy to unintentionally not put God's kingdom first. You know, I don't think I wake up in the morning and say, all right, I'm going to do these three things first and God's going to come forth. You know, we don't wake up with that mindset or that intention. But when we don't seek Him first, when we don't intentionally and consciously put Him first in our lives, that's what will happen. You know, sometimes it's just all we can do to stay afloat in life. We have jobs and things happen, and we say, well, you know, I need to call so-and-so and check in on them or go make a visit or, you know, sit down and study the Bible, and then, you know, the phone rings and 12 things pop up, and you look up, and it's the end of the day, and you haven't done anything, you know, anything spiritual. You haven't done anything for the kingdom. And we set out to often to do those things and they don't get done. But it takes intentionality and seeking God's kingdom first to do that. You know, I don't think the devil cares why we don't put God first. You know, we have all these excuses in life and all these things that pop up, and some of them are legitimate responsibilities. But you know, if I'm out fishing and just a big fish jumps in the boat, I'm not going to throw it back and say, well, I didn't catch it fair and square. The devil's not going to do that with us either. He doesn't care why God isn't first in our lives or why the world is pulling us away or distracting us. He's just going to be glad we jumped in His boat. And that's hard to swallow, I think, but it's true. You know, God doesn't care, or the devil doesn't care why we're not serving God first. But we need to make sure that we are. We need to make sure that we're putting Him and His work first in our lives. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24, we see how important it is to follow the example that we're given. Matthew 10 and 24 says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master." You know, Christ expects us to follow His example, and He expects us to do our best in that. You know, if you want to be good at something, if you have something you want to do in life or as far as a job or a hobby, if you want to be really good at that, you go find somebody who's already done that, who's perfected it, and you go learn from that person. That's the easiest way to do that. And Christianity and our discipleship is no different. If we're going to truly follow God and we're going to try and put his kingdom first, what better example to have than to follow Christ? You know, when we study the things that he did and the things that he would have us to do in life, it's not enough to just study those things. We have to go put those into application. You know, if you go ask somebody, well, how do I go make $1 million? They say, well, you work really hard and you save your money. You say, okay. And then you just go on and you just live the same lifestyle, blowing money and not working very hard. Well, you're not gonna make $1 million. And it's the same way with our Christian walk. When we see the things in God's word and the example that Christ left for us, we have to follow those things. We have to do our best to follow them as closely as we can. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." You know, Paul, he told us to imitate him because he imitated Christ. The world often tells us that we're all just going to heaven, we're taking different paths to get there, and Christ, however, teaches something very, very different. You know, if we're truly wanting to serve God, we have to follow his example as closely as we can. You know, when we got some rain this week, I guess maybe everybody did a little bit, but between our front door and getting the kids to the car or getting around to the car, we have a lot of mud and puddles and different things. And if I walk out the door and I go jump in a puddle, well, you can bet those girls are going to want to jump in there just as quick as they can and splash around and make a mess. You know, and they, if we don't take a path and give them a path to take, they're going to jump in that puddle and they're going to get covered head to toe from mud and they're going to be covered in filth. And it's the same way with us following Christ. You know, if we don't follow his example as closely as we can, we're going to jump in one of the puddles that's out in the world and we're going to have this filth of sin all over us. You know, if you've ever stepped in mud and you have it on the bottom of your shoes, you can see it doesn't just stay on your shoes. When you go walking across carpet or something clean, you see the footprints and the filth of that mud left in your wake. Everywhere you go, that filth is going to follow you. And if we're living our life that way, if we're not following Christ in the manner that we should, you know, that's going to follow us too. That's going to have consequences. And it's not something that just stays on us or that we think we can hide. That's going to have an effect on other people around us and in our lives and our discipleship with Christ. So we need to make sure that we follow the example that Christ has given us that we read about in 1 Peter 2. One of the best places to start truly following and being a disciple, I think, is we have to deny ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16 and 24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" We're told we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and we can't serve this world. We can't serve the things that we want and the desires that we have in this life and serve God. We have to deny ourselves and put God first. Christ, he doesn't promise us everything. He doesn't promise the riches of this world. He doesn't promise that we'll have everything that we want in life, but he promises that when we follow him and we deny ourselves, it'll be worth it. You know, he promises us a home in heaven. And that's more valuable than anything that we could have in this earth. You know, being a disciple and denying ourselves may seem tough at times, but it's going to pay off. It's going to be worth it in the end. And John chapter 8 and verse 31 brings us to the next characteristic I want to look at. That's to grow in our knowledge in Christ and in his word. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" You know, we all know that we need to study our Bibles, that we need to create a healthy life of study. And we've heard countless lessons and bullet points and sermons to the point that I think we say, okay, I know, we've heard this, but you know, we can't be God's disciples. We can't be a follower of a teacher if we don't know what it is that he's teaching. How are we going to use his words to make disciples of other nations if we don't know what it says, if we can't use it skillfully? You know, we have to read it and we have to find the truth in it, because this world is full of lies. It's full of things that we can easily trail off onto if we don't know what the truth is. So to be a disciple, we have to know what the truth is. We have to know what God's word says. We have to be able to use it. In Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And to live a life of true discipleship and to study God's word and be able to use his word, we need to find delight in his law. And we need to be rooted in his word like a tree is rooted in the ground when it has good fertile water next to it. You know, if you see some trees in a low spot, in a creek bottom or something like that, they're always big. They're always a lot healthier than the trees that you see sitting up on the side of a hill that all the water is just running by and it doesn't hardly get a drink. You know, if we just kind of glance through God's word and it goes by and we don't hardly take root in that, we're going to be like that tree that's on the side of the hill, not the tree that's rooted by the water. And we need to make sure that we're trying our best to delight in God's word like we read about in Psalms, so that we can withstand the droughts and the tough times that life is going to throw at us. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." You know, as we read about at the beginning of our study, we're to go and make disciples of all nations. But we can't do that if we don't know God's word. If somebody has to teach us again the first principles, how are we supposed to go teach others? You know, that's going to pull somebody away who could be teaching others to come teach us when we ought to know better. And so it's important for us to stay active in God's word, to continue to study it. You know, it's hard sometimes. You get home at the end of the day and it's all you can do to take a shower and get in bed before midnight, or just sometimes it's hard. You don't want to sit down and do it, or maybe you sit down to study and you just fall asleep. But studying God's word, that needs to be as much of a part of our life as eating, drinking, or getting a good night's sleep. You know, we need to live not by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. And I think that's hard to do sometimes, but we don't need to make excuses. We don't need to do that. To be a true disciple, we need to make sure that we're staying active in God's word. The final thing that you notice that I want to look at about discipleship is we have to bear fruit. In John chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." You know, it kind of all comes back around as we opened our study with. We have to bear fruit. God has given his disciples a job to make more disciples. And I think that's the most important thing we need to be striving to do, is to be bearing fruit for God, to be working in his kingdom, to be seeking his work first. And sometimes that's hard to do, but we don't need to lose sight of the goal. You know, if you're going to do anything in life, if you're going to be productive in anything, you have to set a goal and you have to work towards that goal. And discipleship is no different. And bearing fruit is no different. You know, this isn't limited to the confines of this pulpit or to the walls of this building, but we all have the responsibility to be a disciple. when we go out our separate ways and we go live our lives, we have the responsibility to be disciples of Christ. So tonight, if you have not begun your walk with Christ, if you haven't been baptized and had your sins washed away, that is a perfect place to start, being a disciple and have your sins washed away and have that relationship with God. Or tonight, if you feel like the cares of the world have pulled you away and distracted you, we can help you with that. We can help you get back on the path you need to with prayers and study. We ask that there be one of either class that you'd have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.